Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Where is the leader of the Islamic movement of Nigeria? Where is Sheikh Zakzaki? The Sheikh was seen in court on Tuesday when he was actually charged with murder, though he is the victim along with up to 1,000 fellow Islamic movement members of Nigeria who were attacked. Since then, there has been no communication from him, though prior to that, he was in contact with his family. The Sheikh's lawyers have also demanded access to their client, but since the court, they have not seen he nor his wife. Stay with us as we take a look at the latest on Sheikh Zakzaki and the Islamic movement of Nigeria.
The Islamic movement in Nigeria and the followers of its leader, Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki, have expressed grave concern about the condition of their leader, as his whereabouts remain unknown to the public for quite some time. Sheikh Zakzaki was last seen on Tuesday, May 15th, as security forces escorted him and his wife to a high court in Kaduna State. Since then, the leader's lawyers have written an official request to the director of the Department of State Security to see their client, but no permission has been granted to them. The Islamic movement has released a statement declaring Zakzaki and his wife missing. The IMN says the fear of their disappearance got worse when those who lived with the couple went missing as well and the movement officials couldn't reach them. The leader's mobile phones have been switched off and his son says he's lost contact with his father. The IMN says the Nigerian government will be responsible if anything happens to Sheikh Zakzaki.
That is the Saudi government that putting pressure on Nigerian government to behave this way. And indeed, even before we sort of had documents, we saw documents from WikiLeaks that actually shows that Saudi embassy is putting pressure on Nigerian government to treat the Islamic movement in Nigeria and deal with it and stop its influence.
Tuesday's court session was Zakzaki's second public appearance since December 2015 when the Nigerian army attacked a Shia cleric and his followers in the city of Zaria. According to a judicial inquiry, 348 Muslims were shot dead by the army and buried in mass graves. Rights groups have accused the Nigerian military of destroying evidence of the crime. Sheikh Zakzaki, who lost an eye and was left partly paralyzed, has been held in custody ever since, together with hundreds of his followers. The Shia cleric's followers have repeatedly staged rallies calling on the Nigerian government to release the Sheikh. Instead, authorities in the West African nation have imposed a ban on the entire activities and membership of the Islamic movement in Nigeria.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Mr. Reza Kazem out of London, and editor of Pan-African Newswire, Abayomi Azikiwe out of Detroit. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Detroit with Mr. Azikiwe. How can the judicial system get away with charging Sheikh Zakzaki with murder when it was the same judicial system that a judge in December 2015 had ordered the Sheikh to be released and monetarily compensated because of the injustice which had been done against him?
It would have to be politically motivated, for the simple fact that the Islamic movement in Nigeria is a peaceful movement. It has never engaged in any type of violent activity against the central government. So therefore, these new charges, which have just been imposed after 2.5 years of being in detention by the Nigerian authorities, it would have to be something that is designed to justify, to apparently create some type of pseudo-legal rationale for the continuing detention of the Sheikh. Several months ago, in fact, it's been more than a year and a half, that the same Nigerian legal system had ordered Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki to be released within 45 days. This has not happened. And the fact that he did appear in court earlier this week, and then, of course, has not been able to be reached since that time period, really is a cause for alarm on the part of not only his followers in Nigeria and around the world, but also the international human rights community in general.
Well, what about that, Mr. Reza Kazem? We look at the situation. You heard our guests out of Detroit saying it's likely to be politically motivated. Who would benefit politically from this situation exacerbating and Sheikh Zak Zaki continuing to be incarcerated?
I think one of the people that we can actually refer to in reference to answer of this particular question is what Sheikh Zak Zaki himself has said to his captors, that why don't you finish the job that you have been paid to do? And obviously we know the influence that has been brought to bear, both with what has been said at the top of this program with regards to Mohammed bin Salman actually making the comments that he had tried to do something here to influence the authorities to do something against Sheikh Zak Zaki and sort the problem out, and also what came out of WikiLeaks. So in terms of the political pressure that's been talked about, that's clearly stated there. We also need to understand that with the High Court of Nigeria actually making and freeing Sheikh Zak Zaki, this means that the people involved in keeping him incarcerated are actually in contempt of court. And so that means the Nigerian government is in contempt of court. This means the army is in contempt of court, and the secret services of Nigeria are in contempt of court for doing what they're doing. And it makes no sense to actually, as has already been said, when the High Court has actually ordered Sheikh Zak Zaki to be freed, mm-hmm. for then him to go to a local court. You know, it's like going from the Old Bailey to a local magistrate's court in London to try somehow to get the get a different kind of a judgment. Right. And it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, legally speaking.
Well, Abiyomi Azikiwe, why do you think the Buhari government has never come out to condemn the killing of hundreds and some say 1,000 members of the Islamic movement that took place in the beginning, in December of 2015?
Obviously, they're trying to protect themselves from civil liabilities. Also, political considerations are involved in this. President Muhammadu Buhari is going to stand for elections again next year in 2019. So he really can't afford, considering the volatility that exists in the Nigerian political system, to come out and admit that the government made an error. Not only did they make an error, they are liable from a civil as well as a criminal standpoint for opening fire on a peaceful demonstration. We also have to look at the influence of the United States as well as Saudi Arabia in this whole scenario. President Buhari was just here in the United States several weeks ago. The administration of President Donald Trump has pledged to sell the Nigerian military numerous fighter aircraft as well as helicopters, ostensibly to fight against the Boko Haram insurgency in the Northeast. So there's political and economic and military considerations involved in all of this. And
well, let me just jump in here, as you've just said. Let me just interrupt.
Recipient.
Okay, let me just jump in here, Mr. Azikiwe, because you talked about what the U.S. is saying and trying to stop Boko Haram. Of course, Boko Haram is a terrorist group. However, the Islamic movement of Nigeria is a very peaceful organization. So why would, for example, the Buhari government, that it is in their obvious benefit to have a local group, non-peaceful, inclusive of all religions and even secular people, what would it be to their advantage to stop a group like that? We're not talking about Boko Haram. Of course, many has tried to compare the two groups together, but obviously there's a big difference. Well, let me just pose this question to Reza Kazem.
I think in terms of that, there is obviously no comparison as such. We've had clear condemnation from Sheikh Zak Zaki of what's going on with Boko Haram. And there have also been indications that Boko Haram and the Nigerian army has actually at times may actually have worked together. And this is something that is problematic in itself in terms of what's being coming out. So we need to understand that there is nothing that can be done said in terms of trying to compare the two. I think what the Nigerian government is also quite seriously worried about is that they have used live fire on those people that have come out to demonstrate for the freedom of Sheikh Zakzaki and his wife. Despite using live fire, despite many people being injured, despite people being killed, people have still come out in their thousands and said, you will need to kill us before you're going to kill Sheikh Zakzaki. And this is something that is continuing. And this is something that is obviously quite problematic politically for the Nigerian government, who's got pressure, as has been indicated by the guest from Detroit, that from the United States and from Saudi Arabia, Prince Mohammed bin Salman actually trying to make sure that this problem of Sheikh Zakzaki is sorted out. And this is something that they are trying to pressurize the Nigerian government in doing. And the Nigerian government is finding itself in a difficult place in terms of being able to implement this, because people are constantly coming out, regardless of what's being thrown at them, and saying, we will face the bullets and we'll keep protesting peacefully. And they're continuing to do this regularly in Abuja, in different cities in Nigeria, and is continuing forever. And that is where the problem is actually still there for the Nigerian government.
Dealing with what Reza Kazım has said as far as continuing to protest, but Abayomi, as a Kiwi, they have continued to protest peacefully. Again, I'm going to pose this question. Isn't that what a country should want? If individuals have problems, then protest peacefully. And again, we look at the history of the Islamic movement in Nigeria and the role of Sheikh Zakzaki in all of this, always basically making sure that there was never any incitement. And because of the social work that was done on the ground, basically had people from all spectrums of life and religion being a part of the Islamic movement. Again, I'm trying to get to understand, why would the government then have a problem with such an organization?
I believe that they are concerned in regard to their relationship with Riyadh as well as Washington. They tend to be more friendly, and they have better diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia. The government in Nigeria has, over the last couple of years, been quite hostile towards the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they are attempting to frame the Islamic movement in Nigeria as being allied with Tehran. Now, whether that's true or not, they still have a right to exist within a democratic system in Nigeria. But we have to look at the background of President Buhari. President Buhari came out of the Nigerian military. In fact, back in early 1984, he was involved in the leadership of a military coup d'etat which overthrew an elected civilian government. He stayed in power for a year and a half, and he himself was overthrown during mid-1985. So his background comes out of the Nigerian military. And these military figures who have taken off their uniforms are now ostensible civilian political leaders, yet their instincts, their inclinations are still coming out of a non-democratic structure, such as the military and the security forces in Nigeria. So I think it's both a domestic issue as well as a foreign policy issue vis-a-vis Nigeria's relationship with Saudi Arabia as well as the United States.
Reza Kazım, your take on that. How much of a role do you see looking at Saudi Arabia, looking at the United States? And also, there are we have reports that Prince Salman, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, has also said that he wanted to limit Iran's influence on the African continent and didn't want to see a Hezbollah-type unit. Whether that is true or not, I want to talk about the role in all of this and basically the Saudis and what they're trying to do in the region and beyond.
I think we need to try and understand what's actually going on with the Islamic movement of Nigeria. In terms of their role, they are an organization that is developed and has evolved in Nigeria under the leadership of Sheikh Zakzaki. it has the spectrum of the Muslim community, regardless of the sect of the Islamic faith within it, contained within it, and is reflected in their membership and so on. So for Saudi Arabia to actually try and create this idea of a sectarian identity for the Islamic movement of Nigeria is problematic in itself, and it's incorrect, it's factually incorrect, it's wrong. And the Islamic movement of Nigeria actually goes beyond the Islamic faith and actually has many people who are from the Christian faith within it. And in fact, in a country that has been beset with tension, inter-religious tension between Muslims and Christians, one of the things that the Sheikh Zakzaki has ordered his followers to do at times of tension is to stand outside the churches and the houses of their Christian brethren and actually say, we are not going to allow anyone to attack these Christians at this time physically and so on and so forth. So actually, to try and paint this in terms of some kind of a problem between Saudi Arabia and Iran is problematic in itself, because it is taking away what is actually happening with the Islamic movement of Nigeria within Nigeria. And also, we need to understand that Saudi Arabia's tool and instrument that it actually uses is to actually encourage sectarianism in different countries around the world. So, for example, we would have Saudi Arabia supporting Jamaat Islami or supporting certain groups and so on in some countries, Islamic groups in some countries, but their own sister organizations in, for example, Bangladesh, they are not actually supporting it. So we have these kind of issues that are going on with regards to Saudi Arabia trying to encourage some kind of a sectarian kind of tension within within different places. And although these different groups within Pakistan and whatever try and combat the sectarianism and whatever, we have elements within those groups that do create these kind of problems.
Well, Mr. Azakiwi, now the Sheikh has been giving another court date in June. Do you think that they will actually put him on trial for murder? And if so, possible ramifications?
It is a possibility. For the simple fact that they want to provide a further justification for his continued detention. There's no evidence whatsoever that he was an accomplice to murder or that he was involved and created a public disturbance. Even if these charges are filed against him, theoretically under the Nigerian Constitution, the Sheikh has a right to due process. Obviously, his due process has been violated over the last 2.5 years, along with his wife, his family members, and of course, there are thousands upon thousands of followers who have been victimized over these last few years by the Buhari regime. I believe very strongly that this is in large part the direct outside interference in Nigerian affairs by elements who are hostile both to the national unity of Nigeria as a nation state, as well as its economic development. The United States, under the previous government of Barack Obama, in essence, cut off all trade between Abuja, Lagos, and Washington and New York. Trump is discussing possible new avenues of economic cooperation between the Buhari government and the United States. These are factors that cannot be ignored when we try to assess what the domestic politics are right now inside Nigeria.
Reza Kazemi, what now? What needs to be done in order for justice to be served in dealing not only with the Zaria massacre, but as well as the freedom of Sheikh Zakzaki, his wife, and other IMN members who are still being incarcerated?
I think we need to remember that with all of these things, one of the threats that Sheikh Zakzaki poses to what my friend in Detroit has actually talked about is this idea that there's going to be a challenge to the corruption of the Nigerian government and the Nigerian authorities that Sheikh Zakzaki has always posed in terms of what he's actually said. In terms of the specific answer to your question, it is absolutely imperative that Sheikh Zakzaki is freed immediately. Compensation is actually paid. to those people and their families who have been martyred over 2 years ago. And I think we need to also remember that there is a case that is taking place, and charges that have been put in the International Criminal Court, and people like President Buhari and so on, and people who have been responsible for the massacre that took place, will be held accountable. And all of these things need to happen. We also are talking within the Nigerian judicial system that the High Court has actually ordered for Sheikh Zakzaki to actually be freed and compensation to be paid. So at least that must happen immediately, and for the Nigerian government and authorities to stop being in contempt of court.
And are you optimistic that that will happen soon?
I think the protest, the resistance, and making sure, calling for the freedom of Sheikh Zakzaki is certainly going to happen, and it is going to continue. The followers have made that clear. In terms of it happening physically itself, we continue to protest because we hope that this will actually happen.
All right. And on that note, I appreciate both of you being with us, but we're out of time. Islamic Human Rights Commission, Mr. Reza Kazim out of London, and editor, Pan-African Newswire, Mr. Abu Yomi Azakiwi out of Detroit. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, thanking you all so much for staying with us, and make sure you join us next time. Goodbye.